It's true. I made the fateful mistake of coming between Lori and a hot buttered roll, but it was an accident. True, but an accident. And Lori does exaggerate just a bit. I was not drooling on the phone. And I wasn't begging, but I guess I wasn't on the other line. Lori, thank you so much for sharing that story. And God calls each one of us in our lives and where we live and where we interact to value life one way or another. And most of us haven't been nor ever will be called to value life in the way that Lori did. But each of us is to value life. And I want to talk about that just for a moment this morning, the stewardship of life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that life is valuable because you made it. And we need your help to cherish it the way that we should. Give us strength for that and give us wisdom to know what it looks like when it's our turn. In Jesus' name, amen. The text I've selected for this morning is in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Back when God breathed his breath into the first pile of dirt that became the first man who was able to walk and fellowship and live before a holy God. Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. These are the records of the heavens and the earth concerning their creation at the time the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. No shrub of the field had yet grown in that land, and no plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not made it rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. But water would come out of the ground and water the entire surface of the land. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust from the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and the man became a living being. I remember about 10 years ago when I was traveling with my family for Thanksgiving, and we stopped on Thanksgiving Day at a place where we thought that we could get some breakfast for our family. Our kids were just little, probably 6 or 7 or 8, something like that, or 9. And we went to the up to the restaurant and realized that it was closed. And so we went back to the car to realize that we had locked the keys in the car. And so after my wife and I tried to decide whose fault that was, and we settled that issue, then we began to look for a way to get the car door unlocked. And so we called the police, 911, and explained that we had a car locked and needed some help. And their first question was, is there anybody in the car? And we said, no, there wasn't. We were all outside. Then they said they were not available. And so we called a locksmith who came and unlocked the car. But we know why they asked that, don't we? Because if there was a young child in the car, then the intensity of this situation is much greater and it's much more serious because now there's a life at stake, but as long as we're outside the car, it's not that big of a deal. Because life changes the equation when life is at risk or in danger. Tuesday morning at 9:30 of this week, I got a phone call that changed my entire day for the rest of the day. I got a phone call from a man named Travis who was on Highway 63 north of Waterloo. And he said, your daughter Lauren was just in a horrible car crash and she's lucky to be alive. And I had a really busy day. I've had a really busy week. But everything else after that moment from that phone call that day became basically unimportant to me because there was a life at stake now and I had to go get Heidi and get in the car and make a 2-hour drive to find my daughter whose life was miraculously spared by God, and we thank him for that. Because when a life is at stake, when life is on the table, when that's the issue, everything else becomes secondary. Nothing is more important than life. And those who would willingly give their lives up for another do so because they value it so much, they would lay theirs down to save it because it has value, not because they don't value it. The average American spends 3 years in meetings, $100,000 on food, eats 100,000 pounds of it, makes 1,811 trips to McDonald's, spends $7,000 in vending machines, eats 35,000 cookies, 1,400 pounds of candy, catches 304 colds in an average, is involved in 6 motor vehicle accidents. The average man is hospitalized 8 times, the average woman is hospitalized 12 times, and the average American spends 23 years sleeping. We spend a third of our lives sleeping, a quarter of it working, 8 years watching TV, 6 years eating, 6 years traveling, 4 years being sick, 2 years getting dressed, and about a half a year in church, unless you've gone to three services a week for 80 years, which would total up to 2 years. And so the question is, even if a third of our life is spent asleep, why is it so valuable and how do we value it? I want to give you five quick principles of why life is so important. Number one, God made it. God made it. And God made your life, and God made mine, and God made Donna Joy's, who is still alive today by a miraculous work of grace on his part, and God made the life of everyone that you will come to know. Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed the man and breathed life into his nostrils." We are uncomfortable when someone destroys another person's property. Even if it's not yours, if you were driving down the road and somebody had a baseball bat to a reasonably decent-looking car, you would be very uncomfortable because you know that somebody is destroying something that is valuable to someone else. And so because God made life, and life is God's property and God's choice, it matters then. And it's important because God made it. Number two, life is important because God made life in His image. God made life in His image. Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And we could have all kinds of theologians and read the Unger's Bible Dictionary and get out the Greek and the Hebrew text and worry about what it means to be in the image of God. What we know is that it matters because somehow God made us in His image and we're like Him in some sense in that we think and dream and love and exist and rule. People burn American flags, not because they're ticked off at the colors red, white, and blue or don't like cotton. They burn the flag because they don't like what it represents, right? Some desecrate the Bible and do horrible things and cruel and ridiculous and demeaning things to the Word of God, not because they don't like black and white on paper, but because they don't like what it represents. Each living person, even if you don't like them, even if they are vile, even if they were a mass murderer, was created in the image of God. And because that person was in the image of God, they have value. Number three, God made each life unique. God made life of each person unique. Psalms 139:13 says that I was knit together in my mother's womb. It says that you were knit together in your mother's womb. God put that little person together, every conceived child in the womb of a mother as they came into life. And God knit that person, and every person is unique. Every single life ever conceived by any human person was conceived by God with a purpose. Every life. And you can say, well, what about the miscarriage? What about the abortion? What about the life that I wrestled with for years and then it was taken from me and it still breaks my heart today? What's the purpose in that? What about the person that's lived through horrible pain and they look back and you can think of no imaginable reason why this life would be worth it, but we know that God knit them together in their mother's womb, and because God made that life and because it was in His image and because it was unique, it was valuable. Why would God let a mother carry a child who's going to die? Why would God let a mother miscarry? Why would God let a mother learn to love a child for 12 years or 18 years to have them die or be killed in a car crash? I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer that question for you, but I know that God made each person intentionally, uniquely, and for a purpose, and because of that, that life matters. Number four, God made every life with a purpose. Luke 10:27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You want to know what the purpose of life is? God said it, the most important thing that you can do. If you want to know the purpose of mankind, look at what God said for us to do. What did He say to do? Love God and love your neighbor. That's it. That's the purpose. God made every life for a purpose. And every single person in your life, whether it was a miscarried child or one that's young and troublesome or one that's not supposed to live or one that was just snuffed out recently, every single person in your life somehow fits into God's plan and His command to love each other and to love Him. Every life. The popular thought is that all life is of equal value. A person, a dog, a cat, a tree, a flower, a whale. It just simply isn't true. God made human beings different. He gave them life. He breathed into them. And we know if someone's out with a chainsaw recklessly hacking down trees, somehow that bothers us because we know that God made trees for a purpose too, different than my purpose. But He made trees for a purpose too. And when persons abuse that privilege, that bothers us because God made trees and they have a purpose. But when we see someone cut a tree down and saw it into lumber and build a house, that brings us pleasure because God made trees for that purpose. God made life with a purpose, and His purpose for our life has a lot to do with what He commands us to do, which is to love Him and to love each other. And lastly, God made life with a future. God made life with a future. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And just as it is appointed for people to die once, and then after this judgment." When you die, your life is not over. If you don't know Christ, it would be better for you if your life did end when you died, but it doesn't. You will have to give an account to God. And so Hebrews 9:27 says everybody's going to die one time. They're going to die. They're going to go see God, and God's going to lay it out on the table and say, well, what do we got here? And because your life, once you're conceived, is forever, it heightens the intensity. It makes it more important. It makes it more valuable. We know that the lifespan or the life of any material affects how we handle it, doesn't it? Human beings, a human soul lives forever. I don't think too much about how I dispose of a banana peel. It's just not that important to me. And I don't want to drop them in the middle of the road. But if there was one in my yard and I ran over with a lawnmower, I wouldn't think too much of that. It's going to decompose in a week. It probably won't be there. Right? Or maybe there was one that was tossed in the ditch. It's just going to decompose. But I'm much more careful with how I might handle a plastic bottle or a glass bottle because I realize that this is not going to go away too quick. And the glass bottle that fell out of my tractor cab when I was 10 years old is probably still in the field somewhere crunched up in little glass pieces because it lasts longer. And lumber. We value fast-growing pines differently than we value a redwood tree that's 26 feet thick because it has such a history behind it. And so we build houses out of fast-growing pines because we can replenish them quickly. But the redwoods that live much, much longer, and some I think have been alive for thousands of years or a couple thousand years, they're very, very valuable because of their lifespan, and the human soul lives forever. What about radioactive waste? You know, that stuff just takes forever to disappear. And they're really, really careful what they do with that stuff, right? I think they put it in canisters that are really thick, and it sits for 40 or 50 years before they do anything. And then they bury it in these deep holes in the ground and rock and put all kinds of stuff around it to keep it protected. And then in 1,000 years, they say it's less volatile because it lasts forever. And it's really serious how we deal with it. And the human soul lives forever. And nothing is more important than that won't last forever. And so life is valuable because God made it with a future. The human soul, every conceived human, lives forever, and because of that, is greatly valuable. So then, if that's why human life is to be valued, how are we to be good stewards of it? How are we to be good stewards of it? I want to just put one small point under each one of those to tell you how you can do it. Because God made life, we take care of what God made. Because God made life, we take care of what God made. Because we respect the image of God in every man. Number two. Because God made life in His image, we respect the image of God in every man. Number three, because God made each life unique, we value the differences in other persons. We value the differences in other persons. Boy, didn't God make us all unique and different? With different gifts and different ways of thinking and different ways of approaching issues and even different ways of worshiping, different ways of relating, and God made us that way, and we value that. Fourthly, God made life with a purpose, and so therefore we should fulfill the purpose for which He made us. And lastly, because God made life with a future, we should live and work to prepare each other for that future. That's why we share the gospel. We share the gospel about Jesus Christ and what He did and who He is because we know that the person with whom we share will live forever, either with God or without Him. And because that life lives forever, the burden of our soul is to have that person be able to be in a relationship with God forever. So we help to prepare each other for the future. Beloved, this morning, I believe there's a room full of people that long to cherish and value life. And I hope this morning God has given us just a few clues of how we can do that better as His people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You for life. I thank You that You intentionally, carefully, deliberately, and purposely have made every single living person ever conceived, born or preborn. And Father, because You value the life which You created and put Your very breath in, we value it too because we love You. Father, help us to know what that looks like in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.